Konnichiwa! This is Awkward Pause. I'm your host, Elmer Guardado, and joining me today is the real-time bandit, Cassie Sargent.
Hello, I'm here. Welcome.
You ever seen the movie Time Bandits?
Remember that you movie? I've never seen it, but I have a strong association that my dad loves that movie.
Yeah, I want to say it is some of the Monty Python guys worked on it. And that's why it's like an old dude thing.
I think Terry Gilliam, I think.
My roommate, big fan of it. Made me watch it once. It's a weird movie to watch with no cultural context. I'll tell you.
I think it's coming back. I think they're rebooting that.
Yeah, Peter Dink.
Sure, why not?
I mean, he's got to do something, right? Game of Thrones is on the way out.
Give him a job.
Give him a job. Sam Atherton, how are you?
Y'all ever seen Clock Stoppers?
Oh my god, have I ever. Dude, I owned Clock Stoppers on DVD. And I used to... there's a Blink-182 song.
Oh, fuck yeah,
I think it might just be All the Small Things. And that's the first time I heard All the Small Things. And that's when I became a fucking, you know, a little pop-punk slut.
I will pay either of you $5 to name the main actor in Clock Stoppers.
Oh, there's no way. I was thinking about it, but I was like, no, there's the main white guy. There's this friend with, like, the dreads, and then there's this hot girl.
I want the main white guy.
His name is Henry.
I feel confident that his name, the name of the actual man, has been lost to time.
I think it's Henry.
I'm definitely having not even a good guess.
Henry? Yeah. Okay, well, let me look into this.
Is he like Madonna? Just one name? Henry? Well, while Cassidy Googles that, I just want to let you know that this show is brought to you by Colgate. Keeping that mouth clean, keeping that mouth fresh, keeping that mouth minty cool. Colgate.com.
Jesse Bradford, by the way.
Yeah. Do you have his IMDb up, or can you give me some other roles?
I'll give you the highlights.
When was the last time he worked in a movie? I'm guessing
he's the guy from Bring It On. When's the last time he worked in a movie?
Or a TV show?
He's made lots of appearances in TV shows.
Yeah, dude, they'll put it
really open the door for him there.
Yeah.
He was in a movie in 2018.
Wow. Poor guy.
He played Colton. Whoever that is. Yeah. He was in 10 Rules for Sleeping Around as Vince Johnson. So, I mean, don't tell me Jesse Bradford hasn't been up to anything.
Yeah, man, he's out here fucking running Oscar campaigns. Cass?
Yeah.
We usually do some, how's your week going, what's going on, and all that stuff. But I feel like that's going to be the bulk of our show, right? So I thought we'd just do some potpourri in general right now, if we may. How you feeling about the Timbers? What's going on in the soccer world?
I'll give you the quick version because I know nobody really cares. We're bad. We're the worst in the league.
Like legit or hyperbolically?
No, like actual bottom of the table. We lost to the worst team in the league last week, 3-0. So I think that makes us the worst team in the league.
That's like a high scoring game in soccer.
I mean, it's okay. You know, I think we've had like 3-2, 4-0, 3-0. I mean, we've been shitty this year. So,
what do you think is the problem? How do you fix it?
We got a lot of problems. You want me to spend the rest of this podcast talking about the problems the Timbers have? Because I got the material.
Yeah, I mean, is it? You think it's a? Because you know, with baseball, it's a lot of times it's just like, oh, they just don't have the money right now, or like they're not building a team. There's no young guys to look forward to and stuff. What do you think you got? Is that the issue?
Well, from a sports nerd perspective, right? We had a lousy off season. We lost like 3 or 4 of our best players, and we went out and didn't get anybody back.
That's a problem.
So we had some big strikers on our target list. I think like 3 different dudes missed out on every single one of them. So it's like your team has this whole plan to sign LeBron, and LeBron at the last minute signs with the Lakers, and you're fucked. So we're the other team and desperately trying to sign anyone that wants to come to Portland, and it's not working out so well. We got a real personnel problem.
Yeah, I feel like Portland's probably, because Portland's a compelling market to, like, it's an easy market to sell someone onto.
wrong.
Well, here's what I was going to say. May I add?
Yes, of course.
However, I wonder if it's the lack of... I mean, I feel where is there soccer culture in America, really? But is that maybe the main hurdle? Because Portland's a cool, iconic place.
Portland is Soccer City, USA.
Oh, then what's the... Why do you think it's a hard sell, then?
People don't want to come to Portland. I think, like, because we're a small market team, right? If I'm a 20-year-old something hotshot who's about to be paid millions of dollars and about to, like, start my life and, like, ball out, I don't really come to Portland, Oregon, right? Maybe I want to go to New York. Maybe I want to go to L.A. Maybe I want to go to Miami.
Dude, New York has a team?
New York has two teams.
The Red Bulls and the New York Football Club.
That's right. NYCFC and the Red Bulls.
It's crazy. Actually, right now, I could only name, besides the two you just mentioned, I could only name two MLS teams.
Including Portland?
Including the Timbers. And okay. The other one is fucking Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
How are they? Do they matter? That's the Los Angeles team.
That is one of the Los Angeles teams. There's a second
What?
One. Yeah. Yeah. LAFC.
Sorry about Galaxy. The Los Angeles Galaxy?
Yeah, I mean, the Galaxy, they're around. They're fine. They're like middle of the table.
Middle of the table.
They fucking beat us earlier in the year, no problem, like without even thinking about it.
So my last summer in California, guys, I was, there was this girl I knew throughout high school, and I always thought she was cute, and like, but we were like strictly friends, you know, she was one of those friends, like, even though I thought she was like, you know, just you know, classically pretty, I was never into her. And then I was with this girl, like, junior, senior year, didn't work out, summer comes around, and all of a sudden, me and this girl start, like, connecting on a new level. Mm. Like, it's, something's going on, right? And it's really sweet, like, it's not even, like, you know, gross teenager shit, it was just like, man, I just really like being around you, like, this is cool, and I guess we started kind of dating, you know, we would go to each other's house and,
spin each other's mouths.
No, like we would kiss, but never like make out. And I always thought, oh, you know what? Maybe she just hasn't really, you know, been intimate before. So I maybe she's just, you know, I got to give her time, you know, like, so I would never push, but I would often be like, you know, throw a little tongue in there and then, you know, she would just like laugh about it and stuff. And it was cute. But my point is, there was this theme of like, you know, I'm an insecure boy, so I was always like, God, man, does she? Maybe it's me. It's got to be me, man. I'm not. I'm ugly. Fuck me. Whatever. This girl, great girl, super sweet, super nice. Nothing ever escalates, even though I met her like parents and like they would have me over for dinner, and it was just like good, fucking wholesome times. And then it's time for Elmer to leave to Mizzou, and the night before I leave, her and another friend like they come to my house. Like in the middle of the night, and they bring me a bunch of like snacks and cookies and shit for me to take. And I'm like, guys, I already packed. I mean, I didn't say this to their face, but I was like, this is going in the trash. I'm not like my bags are fucking packed, dog. Like I planned so meticulously to pack my entire life in 2 suitcases. This isn't fitting. But it was, you know, thought that counts. Great. I'm just trying to articulate the great wholesomeness. And she had an older sister, and her older sister was like, you know, very friendly and awesome and super supportive and great. You know, like I'm in, you know, my first month of college, times are okay. And her and I are still texting and like, you know, wishing each other the best. And then at some point we kind of fall off or whatever. And then at some point I go through her Instagram like a month later, and she's got pictures where she's making out with someone. And I had explodes. I'm like, what? You know? And the someone else was a girl. And that's when it all fucking came together. Mm. This is like one of the three stories in my goddamn life where I fucking couldn't take a goddamn hint. But then her sister became one of the Galaxy girls. And that's the story of, yeah, like, she's still, like, if you go on this girl's Instagram, you know, she's, like, I don't think she gave a shit about soccer, but she's one of the Galaxy girls that, like, I don't know, I guess they dance or something, or they fucking do fan meet and greets and stuff, you know what I'm talking about, Kes? You guys got Timbers Girls?
I got to be honest with you. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, so there aren't like cute girls that like dress up when they have like, you know, the coconut bras, but instead of coconuts, they're like roses. You're telling me.
I mean, you lost me too now. I'm
you're
what?
Telling me like RCTID, Elmer, Rose City till I die.
No, we don't. No, there's no gimmicks. There's no gimmicks. There's no rose honeys.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, you're also in Portland, so it would make sense that you would not have, a very progressive place. I mean, so is Los Angeles, but you know,
there's no Lumberjanes. There's no nothing.
Yeah, I mean, they just dress up in like the Galaxy uniform, and I'm not really sure what they do, but I know she got super fit for this job, so I assume there's some dancing involved because that's hard.
Our local basketball team, the Portland Trail Blazers, does have a team of Blazer dancers.
Okay.
However, okay. So I can't identify with the concept.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a long-winded story. I didn't realize it was that long when I started it, but whenever I think about the MLS, I think about that girl and like, you know, 2 months of me like being like, wow, what the fuck's wrong with me? Does she really like me? Is she just using me for emotional support? And then I'm like, oh, well, what are you going to do?
Maybe you guys were just friends who kiss.
No, because we would be like very like.
Intimate?
Intimate, but like not physically intimate. You know, I mean intimate as in like very, very like supportive of each other. And like, man, like I really like you and I really care about you. And
emotionally vulnerable kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to imagine that she actually was really into me.
Okay.
But going through, you know, her own, you know, sexual identity discovery or journey or whatever, you know. So, you know, I feel like she probably liked me on the inside, but probably wish I had, you know,
different parts.
You're probably
different
like parts. What confirmed it. She's like, yep, don't like guys.
I mean, there is that thing too, right? That's kind of a gag, but there is that thing too where like, man, I was.
Don't want any more of this.
I was the last one. What is that? What is that supposed to make me feel? But no, I you gotta imagine, you know, it was always there, and she was just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she's doing well now.
Well, you got to come to an MLS game, you know.
Yeah.
We got to make some new memories.
Gotta make sure I find Nikki out there dancing for the Los Angeles Galaxy.
Shout out to Nikki.
Sam. You don't like soccer because you're a fucking, you got a good head on your shoulders.
I played soccer in college.
What?
Yeah, I played in
Cassidy, did you know this?
I don't know that I could have said that. I knew Sam was a supporter more than the rest of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love soccer.
But I don't think that I knew that you played college soccer. That seems like kind of a big deal.
So let me reiterate. I played
intramural soccer.
But I played all 4 years. 8 seasons.
Whoa.
That's pretty serious, though.
Yeah, that's no joke.
So
I can't believe you even brought this up.
You want to hear our team names?
Yes.
The first one, We Go 60.
Okay, 60 minutes.
One, Titanic Swim Team.
That one's a little insensitive.
It was college, baby. I think then we were We Go 60 again, and then I think the last time we were also Titanic Swim Team. We kept alternating.
I wish I knew you guys in college, because we would have fucking thrived. Like, I'm still the only loose cannon on this show. You know, I'm still the only one with a fucking spirit alive and the will of a young buck. But I wish I was there when both of you were edgy. You know,
I'm not sure I've ever been edgy.
I don't.
No, you definitely were, dude.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I never have a chance to talk about this, but I did some like. Not fucked up shit, but I like.
You fuck shit up.
I fuck shit up, like.
Yeah, fucking drop some tales.
I feel like there was, so, I in my graphic design program there was a girl from Albania, right?
Okay.
And for some reason she had a bunch of ping pong balls from Dell, and she didn't want them, and I was like, oh, I know, I'll take two big bags. Like 200 ping pong balls. And so we would just go, like me and my friends, we would go, you met them, like, I don't want to disclose their names on the show for posterity, but Like, we would just go to random people's houses and we'd put fucking ping pong balls in their toilets. That's what we did.
How would you get into the house?
I mean, it was at parties.
Okay.
You would just come in with the, you would be the guy that, like, not BYOB, BYO trash bag.
Yeah.
And you would just bring a trash bag full of fucking ping pong balls.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like,
I mean, that's definitely the kind of dumb college shit you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, you're allowed to, I think, make mistakes like that. Like, now you wouldn't dream about doing that, but.
Would I?
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, you know.
I think the worst thing that we ever did. We were just like walking around. There was like, so in at Grand Valley State University, there were like a bunch of apartment complexes, right? That they were all like next to each other. And we found a bike that was unlocked. And like one of our friends was just riding this bike and he ended up riding it into a pond. And the bike was gone forever. Like he just threw it into the pond.
Okay, that one's a little, you know.
So you, yeah, that one's tough. Because that one's theft. You know, that one's destruction of property.
It's also
that
like
one is someone just coming out of their job, minding their own business, and you just fucking ruined their day.
You ruined more than their day, but
more than their day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I mean, yeah, I mean that's how that shit goes. I feel like when you're, you know, even now I could look a little retrospectively because I'm so like detached from college in the last year or two, but you know, even my first 2 years, especially, it's just like, I don't know. Those are the kind of decisions you definitely make when you're, you know, some of them you look back and you're like, you know, none of us probably wanted to do that, but we were all trying to one up each other or impress each other or whatever the fuck. And we threw that dude's fucking bike in a pond, you know? That's just how it goes sometimes. I'm trying to think of the most fucked up thing, you know, like, and fucked up, I mean, like, you know, selfish kind of thing like that, where you definitely weren't thinking too deeply about what the fuck was going on. I don't know. I never really fucked with people's shit. I guess I peed a lot on public property my first 2 years on purpose.
Can't do that now.
What was that?
Can't do that now.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you couldn't do it then either.
You're going to get on a list.
I'm pretty sure that's been around forever. But especially because I was on a, like, you know, public I would walk home. I lived pretty far freshman year. By pretty far, I mean like fucking a mile from downtown and stuff. So it was walkable and easy. But, you know, I got a baby bladder and you got to pee a couple times on the way home.
There's a sense of invincibility when you're under 18, though.
That's,
you know, when it's like, what are they going to do? Really?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I would say under even like 20, you know,
sure. Fine.
Because 19, 18, you know, it's all goofballs there. There's definitely the fear of like, well, I can be tried as an adult, but come on, like, I'm just peeing. Like, what's going to happen?
It's going to be a lifetime sex offender.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
What movie is that from? Old School?
That's a lot of stuff, I feel. I think it's a cultural thing in general. I've seen it in movies and TV.
Yeah, I think it's just a thing.
Yeah, like, I think it's actually true. Like, you could, especially if you're peeing, like, close to a school.
I feel like that's caught from, like, a movie, though.
Could be.
I am not familiar with that directly.
I want to say it's old school, but Sam King will look it up.
Pretty sure it's not old school, though.
Okay.
Cassidy, you do any reckless shit?
You know, I was thinking about this. All of my like bullshit was in middle school. That's when I was absolutely the worst. In like,
when your
I went
kill
to a
count
fucking
was the highest.
Yeah, that's when my KDA was highest. Because I went to a fucking commuter school for college, so nobody was getting into anything too nasty. But we were little shitheads in middle school. Absolutely, we. The first thing that comes to mind is we were just little fucking fiends, dude. And we had this annual trip planned down to this camp spot that wasn't really a camp spot. That was just like this little patch of land on the coast of this river on the property that some random dude owned. And we called it the Bottoms. And we would go down to the Bottoms and nobody would bother us down there. So we would just get our hands on absolutely all the booze we could find and all the, like, whatever else we could find. And we're in, like, seventh grade. And we would just fucking go hard and, like, make mischief. Like, you know, hey, let's throw this can of Axe in the fire. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That kind of thing. Which we definitely did. That's a real example. And it definitely exploded and definitely, like, launched into one of our people at the side of the fire.
Damn.
We're like, okay, we have to go to the hospital. Yeah. And, you know, okay, this guy's way drunk out of his mind and it's 2 a.m. and he wants to go swimming in the river. Let's try and figure that situation out.
I can't believe you were drinking in the seventh grade.
Oh, we were doing a lot worse than that.
Like what?
It's all out of my system now. That's all I'll say. Yeah, middle school times were tough. I pulled out of it. That's when I was hanging in with a bad crowd.
Well, like, okay, I have so many goddamn questions after this. Holy shit. Yeah, please, let's go one to one, Sam. I'll start with first time drinking. Like, that's... When was that? How was that?
My first time I had a drink, I think I was in sixth grade, and we were at my friend's house, my friend Gunner, that you both know from the wedding.
Gunner.
And we stole some of his dad's Kahlua, which is a coffee liqueur.
Oh, that's gross.
And we didn't want to drink it straight, because drinking straight alcohol was gross, right?
Right.
Even
especially
though we didn't really understand.
Coffee liqueur.
Yeah, we didn't really understand. It's a liqueur. It's not like hard liquor. So we cut it with orange juice.
Oh, this is so gross.
And orange juice with, like, creamy coffee is not good, especially alcoholic creamy coffee. So that was my first drink. Next question.
Both of those two things together, like, one of the most... Because I think of both of those things with morning a lot, right? And, well, not Kahlua, but just coffee taste in general.
Sure.
And, like, you know when you brush your teeth and you have coffee or orange juice and it's the worst?
Not good.
I feel like that's what that tasted like without having the need to brush your teeth.
Yeah, it was the first drink I've ever had, and let's just say I've never had another one. So it was not good.
So now tell me about the time when you first remember being like, oh, shit, I'm drunk. Oh my god, this is it. I don't mean shit face, but at least the moment you realized, oh, I understand why people learn how to drink this stuff. This could potentially be a tool.
Yeah. I don't have something specific in mind, but again, hanging out with my friend, and we had a few drinks, and he lived out in the middle of the country. Maybe like 2 miles away from a truck stop called Jolly's.
Okay.
And we decided like 2 a.m. that we were going to walk out to Jolly's, like on these fucking country roads.
What grade do you think you're in right now?
Probably seventh grade.
Oh my god. How are you doing this shit in middle school?
And so that was a good time. Very cold. Long walk. 2 miles is a long way to walk, in case you didn't know.
Where was your mother and father in all this?
My mother was at home, asleep in her lovely warm bed.
Did she ever catch you?
Not like that, no.
But did you, like, was there any moment in middle school or high school where, like, you got busted?
No, I definitely came home once or twice and, like, the door was locked. And so I had to make that dreaded call of, like, hey, will you come out and unlock the door? Which you never want to do, because that blows up when you're arriving home.
Yeah.
And,
did you not have a curfew?
That's sometimes ugly. Not specifically, no.
Damn. That's some fucking liberal-ass garbage right there.
I was mostly a good boy. I earned some of this trust.
Wait, yeah, so kids in middle school used to fucking get a lighter and axe and play flamethrower in the restrooms.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Cass, I have a lot of bottoms-based questions for you.
Yeah. Let me tell you all about the bottoms.
How did you get there?
We were dropped there. My mom dropped me off at the bottoms multiple times.
Did she know what was going on?
We pitched it as a weekend-long camping trip, which it was, to be fair.
Was there any adult on the premises?
No.
That is nuts. You could have been abducted, dude.
Nobody wanted those kids.
No, they had their like tower defense all set up. They were like, there was like some pulleys where they could drop the axe into the fire.
It was a real Kevin McAllister situation going on, yeah.
Damn. Man, how many times did you go to the bottoms?
How many times
did you go to the bottoms?
I think we probably had 3 or 4 different bottoms trips.
Damn. Boys and girls or just boys?
Just boys.
Okay.
Just boys. The bottoms was a real special time. That was a time for us to get in touch with our inner middle school boy. So, yeah, there were no girls within a 100-mile radius.
Okay.
Do you remember... No, never mind. You won't answer that question even if I ask it. Let's move on. Yeah, you went to Japan, Cass.
Yes, I did. I am back from Japan, from the land of the rising sun, from the land of the rising Sam. Hmm. I am back.
How long was the flight? What were your first impressions when you landed? Tell me about your travel.
The flight was very long. No surprise. Going there wasn't that big a deal. We just did a little short hop up to Vancouver, Canada, and then straight over to Japan. Tried to sleep a little on the plane. Mostly didn't. Mostly fucking nerded out and read some D&D books and planned my new character for a campaign that we're starting up. Which, let me tell you, that is a great way to burn some plane time. Played a little Baba Is You. Listen to Gone Gold for my thoughts. And then I landed. And Japan is pretty wild, y'all.
I'm in Japan.
So
where in Japan?
Where in Japan? I landed in Narita Airport, which is about a 1-hour train ride from Tokyo proper.
Okay.
And I just took down some notes on some of the smaller, finer notes of Japan. Because, oh, wow, Japan's crazy. Look at all the... the crazy displays in Tokyo. Look at all the history. Yeah. That's fine. But I want to talk about the coin money.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Because coin money, pretty cool. I have a new appreciation for coin money. Shout the fuck out to the $5 coin.
That's some bullshit.
500 yen coin. But for the purposes of this discussion, yen does not exist. I'm just going to do an easy conversion to dollars for our listening audience. $5 coin, fucking great. $1 coin, game changer.
No.
We need the dollar coin.
Dude, what the... Didn't you have to buy a fucking coin purse for this?
Yeah, and it was great.
Yeah, that sounds awful. That sounds like another thing I have to carry.
No. Well, see, it's not another thing you have to carry. You just gotta evolve what you have.
I don't know, man.
Throw out your old busted wallet.
It is pretty
busted. Get a little wallet with a coin pouch. Or just convert all the way. Go full coin pouch. I didn't miss my wallet. And I love my wallet.
What about your cards? You dump them in the coin purse?
Who needs them?
Well, all right. But
I cut them up. The second that we arrived, I took out my scissors.
That's some white privilege right there.
vending machines. Yo.
That's what I want to hear.
Vending machines.
Give it to me.
So there are vending machines on like legitimately every corner. Like there's so many fucking vending machines. When we were in Kyoto and we were walking just in like a regular neighborhood on our way to get Sam, like we passed in a 15-minute walk, like without exaggeration, probably like 40 vending machines.
Easy.
Like they are everywhere, dude.
Were you able to find any of the panty vending machines?
I didn't find any of those. So to be honest, I didn't really find any weird vending machines. I only found drink vending machines, which are the fucking second coming, and cigarette vending machines.
Oh, cigarette vending machine? Damn.
Because right now, I told Sam, if I come home and I'm fucking depressed from work because I had a bad day, and I decide I'm going to, you know, do a little treat myself action and I'm going to have myself a soda. Try not to keep it in the house. I'm trying to be good. I got to get in my fucking car. I got to turn the car on. I got to drive down to my sad Chevron where the people who still are in high school work. It's on like the border of like the countryside of town. And so you walk in. It's trashy. It's not as clean as you want it to be. You go to the cooler, which isn't even closed, right? Somebody didn't even fucking close the door of the cooler. You grab monsters. Your sad shit, smells like fried food, and you go home. Or I literally walk outside my house. I walk 15 seconds to my nice preferred vending machine because I have my fucking pick. I put my coin money in and it comes out nice and cold, ready to go. That's what we need here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. There's a big... I have two vending machines in my building, and they just got rid of them in the last 3 days. It's over. It means that means I can't... Never mind. I can't incriminate myself. Continue.
So that was a real bummer. I mean, it was great, but it's a bummer that we don't have it.
Did you see ramen vending machines? Are those real?
I did not see any ramen vending machines. I did see some hot liquid vending machines. So like you want a hot tea, you want a hot coffee.
Ooh.
Like they come out in the warm version of those. I didn't partake, but it seems pretty neat.
Can confirm that they work. Comes out hot.
Figured out temperature over there in Japan.
Much has been made of the Kombini. The Family Mart, the 7-Eleven Minute Mart equivalent over there.
You're right.
Just like Reputation says, they are on some next level shit over there. They first are nice and are clean and typically have what you need, so you don't feel like a weirdo going into them. And have a variety of tasty selections. I do want to let you know, Sam. And I've been thinking about how to break this news to you for, let's say, 2 weeks or so. Because I'm afraid it's just going to break your little heart. Okay.
I can take it. I'm a big
boy. So I want to let you down easy because I love you. So I had the Fammy Chicky. We have two Taco Bells near us. Okay. There's a Taco Bell in Salmon Creek. And there's a Taco Bell in Hazel Dell. Okay. The Taco Bell in Salmon Creek does shoddy work. I'm just going to say it. Sometimes they miss your order. Sometimes you get what you want, but there's like way too much fucking tortilla in the burrito. You know what I mean? When the burrito is like 50% tortilla and you just have to like tear that shit off. You're like, what the fuck is this, dude? I'm paying for the beefy five layer, not the tortilla. You go to Hazel Dell. Man, things are a dream. Things are a dream. These guys know how to make a fucking beefy five layer. Let's go, Hazel Dell Taco Bell. So I'm going to chalk it up to a Hazel Dell Salmon Creek situation. That the Family Mart that I went to that produced this Fammy Chicky was not on their game.
You're a fucking coward, dude. Because let me tell you, boy. Dude, you're a fucking coward.
Let me tell you, boy.
Stand for something.
This Fammy Chicky was not my scene. It was not my speed. When I bite into some fried chicken and it's just wet inside.
It's grease.
That's the worst adjective.
I'm not sure this was grease, brother. It felt like water. It felt like just straight, like, generic liquid.
Stop talking about it. That's gross. I hate how polite you are sometimes, you know?
I had a bad Fammy Chicky. Well, because that's some legit stuff, right? I mean, Sam has preached the word of the Fammy Chicky, so I have to believe that there's a reason.
I mean, it seems like
the kind of item where you could have a hit and miss Fammy Chicky. You know, some days it's real tasty. Some days, hey, this batch wasn't so great, and I got a not so great one.
Have you had a bad batch, Sam? Or is it inconsistent at your Family Mart?
I think some of them are, like, maybe a little bit older than others. Like, you know, like, some if they're not, like, as fresh. Mm-hmm. I could see how, like, the quality declines. And also, sometimes they have weird flavors. And, like, they had...
water, one of them?
No water, but the other day they had, like, a Mexican-themed one. Like, that's what it said. It literally said, like, Mexican Fammy Chicky. And it was covered in cornflakes. And boy, that one tasted like shit.
Like the cereal?
Yeah.
That's not Mexican.
No shit. But that's what it was. That's what they were calling it. They're like Mexican Fammy Chicky. And
I want to understand how they got, you know, was it the cornflakes first? And then they were like, this is some fucking beaner ass, spick ass shit. Or were they like, you know, what do Mexicans like? Fucking cornflakes.
I don't even think they thought that hard about it. Like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, they have no concept of, like, Mexican food here. It's crazy. Man, no concept. Dude,
you think you and I could kill with, like, a fucking Mexican restaurant?
Easy.
Like, you could actually do most of the food stuff, and I'll just be, like, the token authentic, you know, certificate on the wall, basically.
There's one Mexican restaurant that I've been to in Nagoya. It's called Jerry's Uno's. And the food, it's like, they're like, oh, we have tacos. They're just burritos. Like, on the menu, it says tacos. That shit is fully enclosed. It's not bad. It's not Mexican food, but it's not bad.
What do you think would happen if, like, when I go to Japan, like, you and I roll up to this place? Would it be a goof? Do you think people would, like, the employees there would be like, oh, wow, what? Like, a real one?
Nah,
you think,
they wouldn't even know.
Not at all?
They wouldn't even know?
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
We did pass by Avocado Mexican Grill in Kyoto.
Okay. Avocado, pretty Mexican. I'll give them that. More Mexican than cornflakes, for sure.
Also, avocado's really cheap in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, like, I would not have expected that.
Yeah, I would have. Maybe they. Do you think they grow them in the country? Because that's why I would have assumed they'd be expensive.
I bet they grow them maybe in, like, the Philippines or something.
Oh, that it's got to be that.
So
it has to be that.
Yeah, like, food from, like, other Southeast Asian countries are pretty cheap, but, like, food, like, grown in Japan is typically pretty expensive.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, because, like, they have, like, they're, like, so weird about that shit. Like, they have, like, everything that they make has a lineage. And it's like, you know, oh, this grape farm is older than, like, it's like 600 years old. Also, these grapes are $20 for a bunch. So.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Cassidy?
Washcloths at the table.
Oh! Okay.
So.
You lost me and then you got me back.
Go to your restaurant, you say, you know, table for two, they fucking put you down, here are your menus, here are your accoutrements, and here is, like, a sealed, plastic-wrapped, moist washcloth that I've grabbed from, you know, our steamer or cooler or however this place does it. And I sit that down with you. So now pre-meal, you crack that shit open, give your hands a nice little clean in, give your mouth and your face a nice little clean, you're ready to munch.
Fuck yeah.
Very first day, I don't know what I'm getting into. They offer me the washcloth. I'm like, no thanks, brother. I'm good.
What do I do with this? I put this on my fucking head? What is this?
So I'm eating, and the guy literally comes over with Google Translate typed in, like, please use the washcloth to wipe
dirty
yourself.
Dirty American.
You fucking filthy animal.
Did you think you looked confused?
Oh, I'm sure I did. Well, that was our very first night there, so we were half dead. But after that, I'm a fucking washcloth believer, dude. That is a nice little break to treat yourself to before you dive into some sushi.
Yeah, I mean, even when you go to, like, in America, like, you know, a wing place, and they have the moist towelettes, that's always just like a pro move. Like, goddamn,
nice.
we need washcloths in here. Cause I'm not into the idea of a shower washcloth. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm just dividing the group right now.
Okay.
But I'm not into the idea. Something about it always grosses me out. But if it's like a temporary, you know, just for the meal situation, that sounds like a golden fucking goose of an idea.
It's very nice, yeah. And I like the pre-meal nature of it. Of like, hey, let's get clean before we get down.
Yeah, let's prepare for this.
Yeah. So, that was Japan, basically.
Shut up. Come on. Give me one.
No, I mean, it was fun, man. We had a good time in Tokyo. We did, you know, some of the touristy shit there. We went to the fucking robot restaurant, which is like anime in real life. But was full of, like, pretty trashy tourists. Like, people just trying to get absolutely fucked. Lots of opportunity to do so when it's like, oh yeah, you know, we have a vodka tonic with cranberry juice or grapefruit juice or lemon juice or whatever the fuck you want, and it just comes in like a can for like, you know, $4. and it's 9%. It's like, okay. Beautiful. Yep. That's yep. Art. This is dangerous. What else did we do? We saw like some awesome stuff, you know, it was cherry blossom season. So we went down to like the gardens and saw all that.
Shit looked beautiful.
That was really fucking cool. I think that was like some of the best time we had. and yeah, I just bombed around Tokyo.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Of course.
People asked me this when I went to New York, and I feel like Japan is in a very similar situation. Where they were asking me, you know, like, where was it? Where did it land on, you know, what your expectations were? Did it land below? Did it land above? And I think it's a difficult question because my answer was it landed right fucking on the target. Because there's, like, because New York and Japan are so iconic, I think they get a lot of praise, but they also get a lot of, like, shit, too, at the same time. So where do you think it landed for you overall?
Yeah, that's tough. I'm not really sure what my expectations were for Japan, because like it is iconic and like you do hear a lot about it, but I still am not sure that I had like a clear idea of what to expect. I think for the most part it met what I expected. And what I will say is, like, in planning the trip, in, like, hey, it's 2 weeks to go, it's time for us to actually put some shit on paper, there was less, like, iconic touristy shit to do than I thought there would be. Because even with, like, New York, it's like, okay, like, Statue of Liberty, and there's, like, the Empire State Building, and there's, like, Times Square, and there's sort of, like, those touristy cultural touchstones. And there weren't as many, at least with Tokyo. I think Kyoto actually had more. And so I guess it was sort of under expectation in that way. But walking around the city, I think, was maybe more interesting than we expected it to be. So a little bit of both.
If I asked you to speak on behalf of your wife, how do you think she felt about it?
I think so. We both had a great time. Absolutely. And I do want to talk about Kyoto and seeing Sam. Mm-hmm. We definitely had a good time, and it was definitely a wild experience. I think for us, we're probably more, I don't know that we would go back, I guess is what I'd say. I think we had a great time, but like that is a long way to go over there, and it is an expensive trip. And even though we loved our time and we loved all of our experiences, I don't know that we had all of the warm fuzzies of like some other vacation spots for us personally.
You think Europe hit the spot a little bit harder?
For us. Yeah. And you know, I think it's like it you could tell that it was heading in that direction because like we were asking people like, well, should we go do this thing? And people were like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of boring. Like, all there is to do is just, like, look around. And we went and saw that. And that was, like, our absolute favorite thing to do. It's like, okay. So maybe we're more these kinds of people than, like, you know, bombing around the city kind of people.
So I have some input on this. So, Cass, God bless you. And, of course, like, I think it's a little different for me because, you know, I fucking live absolutely here. But what I've come to realize is that the small towns in Japan are infinitely more interesting than the big cities. You know, like Kyoto is really awesome, Nagoya is cool, haven't been to Tokyo yet, but and Osaka, but like those are cool, but like there's so much cooler stuff in the small towns, and there's this like such a different vibe. And I don't know if it's like, if you're, you know, planning on coming here, like, as you know, someone, like, of course you want to go to Tokyo, you want to go to Kyoto, you want to go to Osaka, but I don't know, it's like, I think the, like, I went to Inuyama, I think I talked about, which is this little castle town, and it was the most beautiful place I've ever been. So yeah, I don't know. But I definitely understand what you're saying, but yeah, it's kind of a bummer, I guess.
And I mean, I hope I don't sound like a bummer because I'm not trying to sound like a bummer, but I also totally see that, because even in just the transition from, you know, big city of Tokyo to like big city of Kyoto, right? Because Kyoto is still like a huge major city. Mm-hmm. Like, that was much more our scene too. You know, it's pretty wild, like just walking around the neighborhoods and seeing like, you know, okay, there's a person's house, there's this massive Buddhist temple, there's a person's house. Like, all of that is pretty fucking cool. And all of the, like, stuff that we went and saw with Sam, like the Fushimi Inari with all the crazy orange gates, like, that was a fucking experience. And cruising out to, like, Arashiyama and seeing the bamboo forest and seeing the crazy river and the monkey park. Like, we had a ball doing all that stuff. And... you know, even just the difference between those two cities, I think you could tell, like, it was a little easier to, like, connect with people, I think. And it was a little easier to, like, connect with the city and connect with the country, which I think is to be expected because, like, Tokyo is such a massive metropolis.
You know what Tokyo sounds like? It sounds like Manhattan, Sam. You know, where it's, like, iconic, but people are actually doing shit there. So there's not much for you as a tourist. You know what I mean?
It's real. There's a lot going on there for sure.
Yeah.
Tokyo's the biggest city in the world. Or the most populated.
I mean, well, because it's also like size-wise, right? Like it's not really that big. Like it's compact.
I would guess New York is probably the most compact tightest city in the world.
Yeah.
But I think Tokyo has, 40 million people live there and work there.
That's fucking insane. Did you feel that, Cass?
The way that I felt that, and this just like is, I'm sure this goes across Japan, but I really felt it in Tokyo. It was like the verticality of everything. You know, you punch something into Google Maps and you're like looking at the building. You're like, OK, this is it. But I don't see a sign for it. And it's like, well, it's on the fourth floor, or it's like on floors 4, 5, and 6 of this, you know, 20 story building or something like that. Like Super Potato in Akihabara, the sort of like vintage video game shop, or one of the mini, was on floors 4, 5, and 6 of like a 10 story building. Huh. And so just understanding that like each of these buildings have lots of businesses in them, like really gives you a sense of how denseness. Much shit is packed in there, which is pretty wild.
Any weird sex stuff?
From the expectations that I had, I felt like we were just going to stumble onto weird sex stuff like everywhere we fucking went, which was not the case. We went to a Don Quixote, which, like, holy shit. Imagine if you had, you know, a Walmart plus like another half a Walmart of shit packed into like a building a quarter to the size of one Walmart.
Dude, that was basically a Don Quixote.
There is and, a Don Quixote Yakuza.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. And at the back of that store, we browsed through their sex shit. I wanted to check out the Tanga eggs, you know, see what was going on.
Please, Cass. I'm gonna be so mad if you answer this question incorrectly. Please tell me you bought one.
What do you think my answer is?
Fucking no, because you're a fucking loser.
No, I didn't get one.
Why not? Dude, I don't get you guys sometimes, man.
I didn't buy a fuck egg, okay?
Is it like on principle?
No, it's not like that. It's just like, okay, do I really want to spend 500 yen on this or 600 yen
or
whatever
it is? That's $6 for a nut.
Dude, then you got to like spend another like, you know, couple hundred yen on like the lube and like the cleaning supplies. Like you're not just buying the egg, you're buying everything that goes along with it.
I mean, you're only in Japan once.
That's true.
But I can do all this. It's not enabling me to do anything I can't do.
I mean, but it's okay, Cassidy, you've been to a city, but you decided to go to Tokyo because it was a different kind of city. You know what I'm saying?
So this was a when in Rome situation?
Yeah,
come on. When in Japan you fuck the egg?
Yeah.
I can respect that. I can understand that, but I went the other way.
At the back of this Don Quixote, was there films? Magazines or just toys?
Dog, you can get magazines at the fucking Family Marts. They got straight up porn in the Family
Marts. Do they have like the aluminum covers on them or something like that? That
I don't think so.
Like, you straight up see titties even if you're like a little boy walking around the store?
They're covered, but it's pretty suggestive.
Oh, I guess they are covered in, oh no, they don't cover breasts, right?
On the covers, they are.
Yeah, okay, but in general, that doesn't get pixelated. Mm. Well, thanks, Cass.
Yeah, I want to talk...
And we saw Sam.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because that was the best part of the trip.
Yeah, that was fun. So, yeah, we rolled into Kyoto. We had a little bit of time that night to just kind of, like, get our bearings in Kyoto and made plans to see the kid in the next morning. And I told Amber, I was like, all right, when we see Sam, I want you to video our meeting because you're going to see a supernova being formed.
And is this so how you actually talk to your fucking wife?
No.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Just making sure. I was about to call fucking like fucking a social worker to go over there and check on her. Jesus Christ.
So she took out the phone because, you know, there's Sam down there. We're making our way. He starts charging towards us, completely ignores me, charges at my wife, gives her a big hug. Hey, great to see you. Oh, hi, Sam, you know. And I'm left there fucking, you know, holding the rose bouquet.
Yeah. How was Amber, Sammy?
What she's a gem. Right? You know, Elmer, we only got to see her. I only met her for like 20 minutes, you know, when we went to Portland. You a little bit longer. But what a genuinely good and nice person. I think so.
I think she deserves Cassidy.
I think so too.
You know, because I got big hopes for my boy, and did he find a good one?
Talk about falling up. Talk about crashing up.
But you know how sometimes you're like running up the stairs really fast, mm-hmm. you just trip up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sam has more time with the two of us by like an exponential amount now than anyone else on the pod.
Yeah.
That's going to change.
That's true. But one on one time. So I've got the cake. So right. I want to talk about my favorite part of the experience. And that was the Arashiyama Monkey Park.
Oh, yeah.
So... Elmer, you ever climbed a mountain before?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, and then at the top of that mountain, there's just like a bunch of fucking monkeys hanging out.
No, I haven't done that part.
Yeah, so we like get to the top of this mountain, and there's just like, Amber's like, oh, there's one. And there's this one like just chilling. Then we go up a little bit higher, and there's like, at the top of this mountain, there's like a little house sort of thing, like a little building. And you can go in and you can pay a $1 to get a little baggie of cut up apples. And then you can feed these monkeys apples.
No. And
it was so much fun. They're so cute.
I don't trust fucking monkeys, dude. I would not feed a monkey. Fuck that.
They were little. I mean, they could still probably like mess you up if they really wanted to. But they were so cute.
There were like numerous signs explaining what not to do that literally every fucking tourist was ignoring. They're like, don't crouch down. Don't point the camera at the monkey. Don't look them directly in the eye. And there's a dude doing like all three of those things right in front of me. I was waiting for that dude's face to just get ripped.
Man, don't you wish that so often? Like, I mean, just in general, bad things to bad tourists. Like, come on, man. Fucking respect. That you're a guest in this fucking country.
We saw so many bad tourists. So Kyoto, I think, has the most number of tourists in all of Japan. I think at some places we went to, there were more white people than there were Japanese people. So we're going out to one of the places we were going to, and it was like a rush hour train. So it was packed, right? There was a bunch of like school kids just trying to go to school. And like... the doors open and this lady is trying to get off. And Elmer, I mean, it's like not a meme. Like, people really don't speak English here. And if they do, like, they're too shy to like do anything. But this lady, she's like, excuse me, I'm trying to get off. And, like, no one is moving because no one can understand her. And she was, like, getting so upset. And it's like, bitch, like, learn how to say excuse me. Like, you're in another country, learn how to say it. Oh, I was getting so heated. Oh, my God, she made me so mad.
I mean, it's especially worse, like, with tourists. But in general, I think we all just get heated at people that are so, like, unself-aware and, like, fucking rude and disrespectful. Like, goddamn it. Just, it takes so little effort to be respectful.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, so easy.
You just have to try a little bit. Yeah. Because, let me tell you, that was, like, definitely a takeaway of this trip. Was, like, wow, Japan is pretty cool. Wow, Americans are the fucking worst.
I'm sure there was some European fucks in there, but I see your point.
Yeah, no, there were. There were. But, man, like, the loud talking. Like, maybe if I talk louder, you'll understand English.
Fuck that.
It's like, y'all. I mean, we memed about this, but, like, the fucking Yelp reviews that are like, they barely spoke any English. Horrible service. It's like, yeah, you're in Japan, motherfucker.
I fucking hate that archetype of people more than most things in life. Like, I just can't understand the sense of entitlement. Because I think that's at the core of it probably what it is, right? Mixed with some fucking dumminess. But
the one-star Yelp review on a Japanese restaurant with a Japanese name because they didn't speak enough English. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty skewed, man. That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also saw, we were minding our own business at Kyoto Station. And I look up. And I see this woman in a fucking rice farmer hat, a white lady. And on the rice farmer hat is printed a picture of someone rice farming. And I wanted to fucking murder her. Like,
that's like one of those Halloween costumes that's like just a t-shirt with all the Avengers on it. Like, what the fuck is the point of this?
And it was just like, I wanted to like give her a knife so she could like harikiri herself.
Hell yeah.
Awful. Oh my god, it was so embarrassed. Oh my god.
Don't make that the touristy thing that you bring back from Japan.
It was the worst.
What if she probably brought that from America to Japan?
That's also
very possible.
That could be a thing that happened.
She got a spirit.
But yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, it was such a fun, it was like so much fun seeing Cass. I feel like we did a lot in like a day and a half.
How long were you guys? Oh, a day?
Yeah, a day and a half.
We hung out all Saturday and I would say most of Sunday. Honestly, after we left you on Sunday, Sam, like we were so dead that we didn't have the will to do anything. Like we went home and we packed up and we like tried to like lick our wounds basically. Because I think
did some wound licking.
Something like that. We walked between those 2 days, we walked like 70,000 steps or like something fucking insane. Yeah. And I was getting a cold on the way out, so you know, 9-hour plane with a cold, that was fun.
Yeah, that's shitty.
And now I'm back on the road to recovery. I think I'm like finally just now not jet lagged.
That's good.
But yeah, it was great.
I mean, that sounds awesome. I feel like we had a productive conversation about it, and still wish you would have got a Tengeg. That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry.
Missed opportunity.
Shout out to Vitamin CC Lemon, by the way.
Ooh. That
I did find this out, Sam, because I was like, we were on our way home, and I was like, I could use a little CC Lemon, which, for those of you not familiar, a.k.a. everyone, is a nice little sparkling lemon fizz soda kind of thing. But not like a Sprite that's like lemon limey. This is much more on the lemon end of things.
Like acidic or tardy?
A little tardy, but mostly like a sweet lemon.
Okay, that's good. Sounds good to me.
43 times the amount of vitamin C in a lemon in a vitamin CC.
Hell yeah.
Where'd you find these at? Never heard of these.
Vending machine, baby.
Oh, in Japan.
Okay. In Japan, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I was drinking some vitamin CC lemon to try to get my health back, you know.
Yeah, man.
Clearly, it's worked.
When I was in New York, like, on the last day, I felt it coming on to me, too. And I was like, no, motherfucker. And I got up super early. I went to a CVS. I bought some zinc, some emergency, and an actual orange, I get, which I've never bought produce at a CVS, but, you know, what are you going to do?
That's New York, baby.
I fucking fought that cold off. But, you know, you obviously had a worse flight than me, so.
Now I'm powering up. I'm still taking all that stuff. I'm still taking all that zinc. I'm still taking all the orange juice. I'm trying to rehydrate and prepare.
For
2 weeks from now. For the next trip.
I know, man.
To see the rest of the boys. To complete. I'm making my own Infinity Gauntlet. You know? I got the Soul Stone already right here. I got the Soul Stone. I went and saw Sam.
Your vision.
Now it's time to go get the Power Stone. And it's time to get the Reality Stone.
You're going to get the Reality Stone over here, buddy. You're going to understand why fucking Trump won that election. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Awkward Pause. This is episode something something. I've been your host, Summer Guardado. Thank you so much for tagging along with us and for just being you, Kevin Koops. Your word of the day is...
Was that a kick to me?
Yeah, it was. I did it without thinking, so I'm sorry.
Word of the day is friendship. A feeling or concept of camaraderie between individuals. Friendship.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
The only ship that never sinks is friendship.
That's a... Wow. I want to get that tattooed. Cassidy, where can they find you?
Twitter and Instagram, at Sergeant Cass.
And, where can they find your wife?
What's the address? That's a good question. Let's go Instagram. You can follow me at Sergeant Cass.
I said it as a gag, and then you went for real.
She's linked on my shit. I don't know. You can find her.
Yeah. my girlfriend pointed out yesterday that your wedding venue was on the Martha Stewart website.
That's so funny. We just found that yesterday.
Well, that's how my girlfriend found out.
Oh, yeah.
Via Amber's Instagram.
Yeah, isn't that goofy? We were looking up something totally unrelated.
Yeah, I thought you had like Google alerts set up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Same. Ooh, wow. I didn't say it, but I was literally. Yeah, I was gonna say Sam Kingma because I always say that one word. Sam Atherton, where can we find you?
Your Japanese word of the day is otsukaresama deshita. And you say that...
Otsukami sakadeshka.
No, otsukare sama deshita.
That's one word?
I mean, it's like one phrase.
One more time?
Otsukare sama deshita.
Otsukare sama deshka.
Deshita.
Deshita.
Yeah. And so basically you say that at the end of the day at work, and it literally means thank you for working harder than me.
What? All right.
Literally everyone Japan, says y'all. It.
Japan, y'all.
Yeah. Can I share my story before I forget?
Oh, damn it. You know what, guys? We're not ending the show yet.
So, I teach a very low-level English class, right, with very unmotivated high schoolers. And, there's a new girl in the class. It's her second day, and she is probably, like, the lowest. And we were talking about jobs, and, like, that was what the lesson was based on, was jobs. But they're in high school, so none of them have jobs. And so I was like, oh, I know. I'll do dream jobs. Like, so we talked about that. We, like, kind of went over some vocab. And I paired up with this girl. I was like, oh, you know, like, what's your dream job? And she said, she looked at me dead in the goddamn eyes and said, I want to be a bank. And I fucking laughed. I laughed at her. I couldn't help myself. And I was like, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, I kind of played it off. And I was like, oh, we want to say a banker. I think she meant accountant. But like, in the fucking moment, I had no idea what she was talking about.
With so much sincerity in her eyes, she's telling you she wants to be a fucking bank.
So much energy. She wants to be a goddamn JP Chase. You can find me on Instagram, Sam.in.japan.
Oh, that was good, man. I'm glad you
follow your dreams. You could be a bank.
Your dreams. You can find me at Elmer Does on Twitter. You can find the show at AwkPause on Twitter. Awkward pawspod.com/merch for that merch. God bless and Godspeed.